The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Brightly, Jr.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasser Brightly, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. As we approach Father's Day, we thought it would be good to bring a message that we have preached concerning the perfect Father, God our Father in heaven, and see how many things concerning His care for us are appropriate to apply to what earthly fathers ought to be doing with respect to their children. I hope the message will be an encouragement to you, and we hope that you will take time to write and let us know that you have listened. We'd appreciate it if you'll mention the call letters of the station over which the program comes to you. Our mailing address is Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full, He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior.
Savior, I'm a child of God. Through the years on Father's Day, we have brought messages about what it means to be a godly father, a loving father. Father fills a tremendously important role in the home. He is the spiritual leader. If he is not functioning as he ought, the entire family suffers. But I want to speak to you today on the perfect father. We turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Obviously, there is only one perfect father. That is God. But he tells fathers that they are to imitate him. They are to endeavor to be like him, to be conforming their lives to the example set through the God-man, Jesus Christ. We first consider the question, who can call God Father? Obviously, there are those that make the assumption that any human being can rightfully say, God is my Father. But scriptures do not bear that out. Indeed, God is the creator of all. He gives life to all, but all cannot call him Father. Job chapter 12, reading the 10th verse. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Not only did God create man and initially breathe into Adam's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul, but he continues to provide breath for every human being. Paul enlarged upon that in the book of Acts chapter 17, when he was delivering the message at Mars Hill. It says in Acts 17, verse 25, speaking of God, of course, he says, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So as Paul speaks to these who are pagans and worshiping many false gods, he sets forth the truth concerning the living God, the true and living God, the Creator, and says he gives life to all. So every human soul is given that life, not because they're deserving of it, but by the sovereign purpose of God. He gives them life. He gives them breath and all things that pertain to life. And if made of one blood, all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. So he gives life, he gives breath. In him we live and move and have our being. And Paul goes on to speak of the fact that all will eventually be accountable to him. verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So all men are created by God. All men are given breath to breathe by God. All men are accountable to God. And all would stand before him in judgment unless their sins are remitted through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and he appears as their intercessor. So some cannot call God their father. Not all are the sons of God. There's been a popular way of thinking with some theologians to advocate the idea of the universal fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. But scriptures make it very clear that some cannot call God their father. We read in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 44, Jesus speaking to the religious leaders, the Pharisees of that day, says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." So these individuals could not rightly call God their father. "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." May sound very loving and kind, and certainly appears to be a very broad-minded position for somebody to say, "Well, I just believe that we're all brothers and sisters, we're all the children of God," but that's just not the case. Some are not the children of God and therefore cannot call him Father. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." So here is a vivid contrast in the parable of the tares. He says the good seed refers to the children of the kingdom, those who are children of God and can rightly call God their father. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. So who can call God Father? There are some that cannot. But those that can call God their Father are, first of all, those who are born again. When Jesus was conversing with Nicodemus, as recorded in the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of John, he said in the 3rd verse, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He can't see it, he can't comprehend it, he cannot be a part of it unless he is born again. Verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now this was very puzzling to Nicodemus. Although he was a teacher and well respected, no doubt, among his peers, yet when Jesus starts talking about the new birth, he has no comprehension of it. He asks, "Can a man enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born?" And of course, Jesus says, that's not what we're talking about. But he does tell us that in order for one to enter his kingdom, which would be the equivalent of entering his family, they must be born again. Something must occur within them. Life is given. They become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Secondly, those who can call God Father are those that have been adopted into his family. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." When you consider the fact that we were far removed from him, certainly not seeking him, not loving him, not honoring him, and that he would, by his mercy, adopt us into his family is an amazing display of his wonderful grace. Furthermore, those who can call God Father are those who are believers in Jesus Christ. We look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, reading in the 11th verse. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. These were given the right to become the sons of God. They had not been God's sons. They could not, prior to what is here described, have rightfully called him Father. But as many as received him, to these he gave the power or authority or the right to become the sons of God. And how are they identified? Even to them that believe on his name. But what brought this about? Verse 13, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so this connects with what we've already read in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. You must be born again. And these then who are born of God, therefore now receive him and are given the right and privilege of being known as the sons of God. These are believers. That's how individuals are going to be identified, as those who can call God Father. Another reference to this can be found in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. It says that you are the children of God by faith. So faith is given. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But that faith is that by which these are identified as being the children of God. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 26 of Galatians chapter 3. Now, having considered the question of who can call God Father, we're talking about this perfect Father. Who can call God Father? There obviously are multitudes who cannot. Although God is their creator, although God sustains life, they cannot call him Father. Those who have been born again, those who have been adopted into his family, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, can call him Father. Now, secondly, let's think about the privilege of calling God Father. What a remarkable privilege it is that we who are sinners by nature, being adopted into his family, now have the right to call him Father. By nature, we were his enemy. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. How does it describe us? We were enemies. Now, somebody might try to raise objection to that. Say, well, I don't feel that I was ever the enemy of God. As far back as I can remember, I love God. I was taught when I was a child about some of the great stories of the Bible, and I never rejected those. And I feel like I've always had a favorable inclination toward the things of God, toward Christianity, toward the gospel. Well, indeed, that may be the case as far as what you're able to discern and observe. But the fact is, all of us are born with the Adamic nature. And that is a fallen nature. That is a sinful nature. And we're not inclined by an act of our own free will to turn to God or love God or serve God or honor him. And so by our relationship to the fallen parent Adam, We, by nature, are enemies, the enemies of God. Chapter 8, verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind, the natural mind, this mind that we have in human nature, is at enmity against God. So in both of these references, it categorizes us in our fallen nature apart from grace, that we are enemies of God. But now, what a privilege. Considering that being our state by birth, our natural condition, an enemy of God, not seeking Him, not desiring Him, being a basic rebel in our hearts, that He would rescue us, that He would draw us to Himself, that He would adopt us into His family. And now we can call Him Father. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You can tell as John writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he stands in awe of the whole matter. What manner of love? What kind of love is this? That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. How often do you think about that? What a blessing to meditate on it. To think, here I am, a fallen sinner by nature. Here I am, insignificant in so many ways. And then to think, I have the privilege of calling God Father. It's one thing to say, I believe in God. I believe He is the Creator. I think about Him at a distance in heaven. But to think about Him as your Father, what a blessing. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. It's then by God's love, by God's amazing grace, that we now can call Him Father. Romans chapter 8, reading in the 14th verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Here's an evidence that one belongs to Him. If one is a true son of God, he is being led by the Spirit. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. This term, Abba, Father, has generally been thought to have been an expression used basically by children as they would speak to their father, calling him affectionately Daddy. But some recent research into the language indicates that it wasn't a term just limited to small children, that it was an expression used right on, showing great affection, and is an endearing term that one would have for their father. So, by the Spirit of God, we are able to call Him Abba Father, our Father. In Old Testament times, God was viewed as being at a distance. The use of the term Father, referring to God, is used only about 15 times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's over 260 times. You can see the tremendous change of emphasis that now, because of the position that we have through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God being given to abide in us, we are now on a very close, intimate relationship with God. The people in those olden times stood at a distance. They were dependent upon the priesthood to make the sacrifices and to approach God on their behalf. The great high priest was the only one who could enter the Holy of Holies, and that was only one time a year. If he entered without the proper garment or at the incorrect time, he would be struck dead. So it was a solemn thing when the priest was ministering. As long as they could hear the ringing of the bells against the pomegranates on the bottom of the priestly robe, there was reassurance that all is well. If that should cease, it would indicate that the priest had been struck dead. They did not have that close intimacy which is ours today. Now, in vivid contrast to the distance that separated the people in olden times, the sense they may have had that we believe in God and he's one of great power, and he certainly is a help in the time of need, but they would never have used such terminology to have called God Father. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 describes this contrast. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. If anybody had entered into the holy place under the old covenant, they'd have been struck dead. But now we have boldness to enter because we enter by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So the word of encouragement to us, let us draw near with full assurance. We don't have to feel that there is a distance, that there is a barrier. We have the right and privilege to call him Father.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nesting birds.
What a blessing of grace that we're able to call God our Father. And what a privilege to be able to call upon him in prayer, to pour out our hearts, to lay out our burdens before him, and know that he cares for us and has promised not to forsake us. If you would like to get this message on CD, The Perfect Father, request that when writing, and also, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you can ask for the booklet, There Is Hope. Until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
From all evil things he spares them, in his mighty arms he bears them.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.
Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh, is the loving purpose solely to preserve.